There's a song, it's not a hymn from church, but a song. And two lines go like this. Could there be a better way of living, better than the easy way? I think whichever way you look, everything tells us that everyone wants a better way, a better life. Well, but I see, even in these few words in 1 Peter chapter 5, this is it. The better way, better than the easy way. When Peter writes here, he's not specifically teaching anything, you might say. But every phrase in these three verses reflects that better way that he has been teaching about. Every phrase, I think, shows a picture of just what it is that people all over the world are looking for, have been looking for, are looking for. And what you see in these words is Peter signs off his letter. Peter lives by this way that people are looking for. And he's encouraging, he believes, he understands that the other people in the church, the believers, they also live by this better way, and he's encouraging them to go on in this better way. These verses also remind us of those basics that Peter had in mind all the way through his letter. And that letter, for those of you who have been with me through it, you will realize he's not talking about an easy way. He's talking about the better way. He talks about, at great length, he talks about how to keep going through suffering and through opposition. It's not an easy way, but it's a far better way. And every phrase in these few verses talk to us about those things that people all around us, they want. I want to point to three essentials to this different life, this better life, this better way of living, a new way of life. What's behind what Peter is saying here, and his the phrases and the words that he uses, reflect these things. Reflect, first of all, a new position. Then also new interests. And also a new condition. A new position, new interests, and a new condition. Let me explain as I go through. A new position, first of all. And the clues to this are several through these three verses. In verse 12, first of all, you see him speaking about Silvanus, a faithful brother. He's not a brother in name or in blood, but he calls him a brother. It's reflecting a new position. The second part of that verse speaks about standing in the true grace of God. Literally, those words talk about a new position. You're standing in something. We'll see a bit more of that in just a moment. In verse 13, he talks about those who are elect together with you, chosen and brought together. In verse 14, the first part speaks about love that changes everything. And the second part of verse 14, all who are in Christ Jesus. Just there is a list, but what do they signify? And I think these words are reminding us that a Christian believer has all those things that are that the people all around us long for. What's going on at the moment? There's all that trouble in Syria and Iraq and so on. What are people saying? They want peace. They want people to live well together, to show kindness towards one another, to help people who are struggling. In politics, in diplomacy, people make a promise that they will they'll cultivate peace between the nations, and the next thing you know, there's an explosion of violence. Peter talks about a man who is a faithful brother. He says, you can rely upon him, he's trustworthy. He's trustworthy in relationship, a faithful brother. Relationship. People are longing for stable relationships in the world in which we live today. And to have support. That's why people want relationship, is to have support from people around them. He's speaking here about faithful brothers, fellow believers, someone who is brought into God's family. That's the picture that the Bible uses. Through faith in Christ Jesus. And knowing that there is support, and Peter himself is reflecting that by he commits this important letter that he's sending to people miles and miles and miles away, and he's put it into the hands of a man he can trust. And he trusts him because he has found him to be a brother. He knows that kind of support. He also talks about standing in the grace of God. Now you might say, well, this is almost over literal, but it's talking about strength. You stand. You're not being moved around, shifting, falling over. That's implied in his use of words here. You stand in this. You stand in confidence. You have a confident position. Because it is the true grace of God. The God who we've sung about him. If Silvanus is faithful, God is faithful. God will not let go of anything that he has promised. You can be completely confident. If he says, I will receive you, you come into my fellowship, my family, you know that is true. And it's the true grace of God. Not a mixture. This is something that has been tested. Peter has tested it. We read in chapter 1 that he's building on a foundation for prophets for centuries. It's true. You can come with confidence. And that's something that is missing for so many. Yes, there's a measure of confidence, but there was an article recently in a business magazine in The Plain, and arguing that people who show such confidence in the business world, there's often problems underneath. Not just people who show confidence that are the best people for the job. But this is real confidence. It's not in me, not in my abilities, but in God and his grace. I mentioned verse 13 as well. He speaks about those other people who are elect together with you. I've spoken about God here. Elect means chosen. Chosen by God. God himself. God, if he chooses, he will not let anyone go. He's promised that. That's why Peter uses this. He remembers how there are people in the world who have been chosen by God to belong to him. How do you know if that's you? Try him. Put your trust in him. It will be you. But if that's you, then you won't be neglected. The future is something that so many people are afraid of. Maybe wouldn't say they're afraid, perhaps, but there's an anxiety ahead. But this is a reminder of what does lie ahead for all who believe. Standing, your position, there are others together with you, not alone. To be alone is a dreadful thing. Again, a great fear of mankind. Covered up by so much, preoccupied with so much. Afraid of having to stand and see the reality of life. But here, drawn together into a great number, brothers, those together with you. And yes, together with you, I think there's also equality. that there's no difference. Peter himself was just the same as everyone else, although he was a man who had been right beside Jesus, yet he saw himself just the same before God. Equality, that's what the world is talking about passionately at the moment. There's all sorts of legislation going through Parliament to try and put equality into place. But here you have it. Through love. Love that rules all things. Even in verse 14, that kiss of love. The kiss is perhaps was culturally a suitable greeting between people. But it's to be flavoured with love, not to be misused in any way. Irreproachable. Ruling the relations that we have with others. And above all, and all of this gathers together, and you see it because of the benediction, as we call it, the blessing that God, that Peter gives at the end of verse 14, peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. That's where it all comes from. In Christ Jesus. Because what really matters for every one of us is how we appear before God. How does God see me? And underneath everything, that is the question that itches in every person's heart. But here it's settled. If you're in Christ Jesus, you know that the way that God looks on Jesus Christ is the way he looks on you. And he said of the Lord Jesus, "This is my son, my beloved son. I'm well pleased with him." If you're in Christ Jesus, through faith in him, you will be received without question in God's presence. These are the things that are behind what Peter was saying earlier. You really kind of have the whole letter wrapped up from the things he started with and the things he finishes with. And all wrapped up inside. He talked about the living hope. It's not a hope that's going to fall away or break down. It's living, it's alive, and it will stay alive. He talks about being redeemed, saved out of, bought at a great price. Jesus died, but redeemed from aimless conduct or living. In chapter 1, verse 18. What's it all for? Our daily lives, the things that we get so busy about. What's it all for? Does it have an aim? How far does that aim go? Well, Peter is saying it can go all the way. For yourself, for everlasting life. And for the glory of God. When he worked through the later chapters, he worked very carefully through how to handle opposition and suffering and injustice, especially as Christian believers. But before he did that, he also worked very carefully through the rich, honored position that belongs to a Christian. He talks about being living stones, being built up a spiritual house, somewhere where God is pleased to be a people of God. And this is what Peter has been about. He's been establishing, setting out and showing that there is a great hope, there is something bigger and better than just ourselves. And then, in another one of the New Testament letters, Paul was writing, the Apostle Paul, to Galatians, and he said to them, "I marvel, I'm surprised that you are turning away so soon from the gospel." Peter, I think everything that he writes here, he was right through the letter, he's trying to say, don't let other things shake you away from your faith. Peter would be so equally surprised if his people and if we would turn away from faith because of suffering for that faith. He would be surprised if we're not prepared to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. He would be surprised if we choose not to believe, if we choose not to set ourselves and to say, I am His, I am in Him. He would be surprised if we turned away from that because of opposition, because we suffer for the faith. He would be surprised because He knows that it's not an easy life. But He knows it's the better way of living. That's some part of it. Another part is the new interests. If that is where we have life in Christ Jesus, to sum it up, if we do have a new life, it's right to expect we have new interests as well. And then you look around and you think about what people are talking about. And I mentioned one where there's such trouble and so much being said about violence and conflict in the world. There's so many appeals going out right now for help for needy children and for people in drought conditions and famine and so on. And that's all good. The finer sentiments in life. Love, kindness, compassion, courage, maturity, peace. People are longing for these things. Perhaps even you're a believer and you're still longing for those things. You still find that they're not there yet. For wisdom, for self-control. How often as well do people wish that they could escape from the pressures and the expectations of society all around, but too afraid to find the way to do it? It's not easy. But there is a better way. When Peter was writing to his friends, he tells them here, just gathers it together, and he says, all this that I've been writing, it's to exhort you. It's to encourage you. It's to urge you. It's to come in behind you and to say, keep going. That's exhorting. I'm reassuring you, I'm testifying, I'm saying it again. What you have is the true grace of God. Don't let it go. Don't think that the easier way is the grace of God. But while you're struggling with that, remember as well that you have that mutual care and support. You have a faithful brother, you have people in another church, verse 13, she who is in Babylon, elect together with you. Peter is writing, it seems, from Rome, which was here given, if you like, the nickname Babylon, because it was like old Babylon with all its liberal ways that were ignoring God. But he's talking there, she being the church, those elect together with you. There's mutual care and support. There are people around. And that kiss of love is another demonstration of that. Babylon is marked out. It's a reminder too that there's a distinction from the spirit of the world, a new world view. To escape from those common pressures. This is the way the world does it. King Balak, remember, we read him. This is the way the world does it. We can pay a man and we can get him to say what we want him to say. But Balaam was one who was standing confident. But he had to do as God said. Escape from those common pressures. Not trapped by the aimlessness, ultimate aimlessness at the very least, of so much of our existence. Remark in a biography of a man, amazing character it seems, who lived in London at one time, but his grandson wrote about him. He'd been a communist and he'd followed other philosophies and so on. And the remark was, one after another, his utopias, his ideal worlds, were breaking down. And he was left with his books. This is no mere ideal, but it's true, it's real, and it lasts. new interests. Exactly the things that the world is looking for. With a new condition, also just what the world is looking for. A new heart, new condition of heart, a new state of heart. And this is important when you remember what Peter has been writing about. People who were suffering because they followed the Lord Jesus. And this is something that perhaps does suffer most when faced by difficulties. What is my condition? We have our position, you're set in the Lord Jesus, but what about my condition? How am I responding to this? His exhortation was to rely on that position. You are in Christ, in the grace of God. Rely on it. Keep there. Hold to it. And so you will then have that the conditions that belong to this new life, just the same things that people are looking for. Peace. That promise, that blessing at the end of verse 14. To live sincerely and genuinely. That things are not mixed up underneath ulterior motives. To be loving. And to have a newfound confidence in the grace of God. So that whatever happens, hold to the faith. Because you know that He will not let you go. Will let you down. And I look at those things. Peace. Genuine life, sincerity, love, confidence. And you can have tastes of these things in so many different lives and different settings. But they're only a taste. They only go so far. They're just on the surface for so many. And whatever beliefs we might follow, so few people know these things. And yes, Christians maybe don't know them fully either. We should, because we have that position. We have the foundation from which they come. We might well be affected by circumstances, our situation. We might lose our sense of peace. We might become unstable in our relationships. Sometimes even our faith and our confidence in God can be unsteady. But that's why Peter writes, why he includes these things as he gathers everything together. That's why God the Holy Spirit speaks to us through him, saying, remember what you have. Remember who you belong to. And be at peace. Have confidence. Have all those things that the world is always looking for. You will find them here. Nowhere else. Because this is where the truth is. As Peter closes his letter, it's not instruction, it's greeting. But it's a rich and it's a full greeting. It's a distinctive greeting. It's a greeting that belongs to people who have a difficult life, but the better way of living. Exactly the things that are reflected in what he has to say here. But just the same things that so many people around are only wish that they had themselves. And it's possible to have. Where do even the richest things of this world leave any of us if we don't have peace? If we don't have brothers, people that will support us? If we don't have truth in our lives, if we don't have confidence in what God is prepared to give us, it's possible to have those things, the truly better things, the things that each one of us really does want most. And if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus yet, make it soon. Because here is what you most need, what I most need. All the stuff on the outside, it doesn't last. And the difficult stuff along the way, that's on the outside too, and it doesn't last. But the better stuff that's on the inside, but only on through this way, through faith in Christ. The things that it's hardest to get in life, but the things that are best to get in life, they're here. And they can be yours, every one of you, every one of us. They can be yours. And if you have believed, be sure to have these things. Be sure to secure these things first. Never mind the rest. Don't be tempted in any way to fill the gaps with something else, to leave these things. No, it will not be easy. That's not what it's about. I think I look around, every one of you, for the things that you've achieved and reached in life, you've put in work. Because you think it's worth it. But the best way, that's worth it too. Not to be easy, don't expect it to be easy. But it is better. It is the better way. And Peter, almost without thinking, lays it all down for us. But that's how it is for God's people, trusting in Him, whatever might be around us. Let us pray together.